see if I can get the participants up as well. Look at that. Okay. So welcome, everyone. We're going to talk today to you about the Incubator Fund. I'm Paula Buttery. I'm one of the co-directors of the Language Sciences, and we've got with us on video. Oh, he's just turned his camera off. It's Matt Davis. He's another co-director. Brekia can't be with us today, and Jane Walsh is the other person you can see, who basically supports us to do absolutely everything. So we're recording the session, so don't turn your camera on if you don't want to be seen. If you have any questions, we're putting them in the Q&A window, which I think I can see, but the others are going to keep an eye on for me as well. If you don't want to ask your question yourself, then put a star next to it or something, if you don't want to be recorded. Okay, I think that's all the housekeeping things, isn't it, Jane? Is there anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Great. So, right. So we're going to talk about the Incubator Fund. The idea of this fund is that it's a small amount of money, £5,000, but the idea is to kickstart some interdisciplinary research that you might not otherwise be able to do. These slides will be available later, will they, Jane?
Yeah, we can put them on the website.
So we'll make sure that all the information on these slides is available to you afterwards. The call for this most recent round is open till the 11th of February. So that's a midnight deadline. And yeah, I'm speaking to you as co-director, but also somebody who, in the past, before I was director, managed to have one of these funds. So hopefully can tell you how we managed to do that. Okay, so today we're going to cover who's allowed to apply for these funds, what kind of things can get funded. I'm going to talk to you, give you some examples of some previous projects that got funded to give you some idea of what the reviewers were looking for. Then we'll go through the application form, and then we'll have any other Q&As and any comments you want to make. Okay, and please do use the Q&A as we go if there's anything that you want to draw attention to. Okay. Right, so first of all, who can apply? Anybody who is a researcher at the University of Cambridge can apply. The fund is open to everybody. We have had successful applicants before that are early career researchers. We've had established academics. We've had grad students. All of these people can apply. We require that there should be co-applicants from at least two different research groups. That would stand to reason for the interdisciplinary nature of what we're trying to do here. We do welcome external collaborators, but the lead applicant has to be from Cambridge University. If you're a postdoc or grad student, you need a supporting letter from your supervisor. You can see on the slide here all of the different departments that have been successful in applying for funding before. So there's a whole load of different departments there you can see, but we should say we are underrepresented in the funds we've allocated, particularly to education, clinical medicine, so that's the CBU as well, and engineering. So we are welcoming applicants from those departments. I should say the picture there is a pr previous winners of an incubator fund. This is Chris, Lee, and Katrina. That's computer science and theoretical and applied linguistics. And they did a project which was based on using tone to predict code switching in English, Vietnamese, Cantonese and Mandarin, which was a nice interdisciplinary project between the departments, also with an external collaborator from Amazon. I won't tell you more about that one. We've got some other case studies later we can look at. Okay. So, we're giving amounts of £5,000 to winning projects. And the idea is that this will fund new ideas and collaborations, maybe run pilot studies that could lead to larger grants, and just to give you a way of gaining quick access to some initial funds that could kickstart some novel research ideas. In the past, people have done things like use the money to employ a research assistant for 6 weeks. That's about what you can get for your £5,000 through the temporary employment service. So maybe getting them to do something which you just don't have time to do yourself, and you need somebody to listen to all of the collaborators and move forward with a particular pilot idea. You can also fund about 250 hours of data annotation for the £5,000, pay participant studies. And we've also had funded a knowledge exchange studentship as well. So these are the kind of things that you can do and that people have done successfully in the past. And they have led to a piece of work or a tool or a data set, which have then gone on to help them in a larger piece of research. It was getting a piece of research underway. There are things that we don't cover in this fund. We don't cover travel, and we don't cover workshops or events. These are things which are not funded by this scheme. The idea is about doing a piece of research, whether it be setting up a project through tools or data, some sort of collaboration, but we don't fund traveling to conferences, we don't fund doing workshops and events. We also don't fund computational costs, so we don't fund things like ChatGPT. The reasons for that are that there are open source alternatives available. We don't feel that this money should be used for that purpose unless you can give us a very good reason why the things which are freely available to you, like the high performance computing in the university and the open source models, are not sufficient to do the job that you want to do. You'd have to have a very good reason for telling us that. So those are the things which aren't included, and these are the kind of things you can do. Okay. So all of the applications are looked at by at least three reviewers. And the first thing they will do is check that the proposal meets the funding criteria. So you're not asking to travel to a conference or something like that. And then they will prioritize proposals which fall into the following criteria on the slide here. So we're interested in promoting interdisciplinary exchange and collaboration. This is why you need at least two participants from different departments or different areas. We're interested in things that address emerging themes. So something that is novel, an area that hasn't been looked at before, will be given preference. We're interested in novel approaches, novel tools. This could be novel data sets as well. If you're creating something new, that will be given priority. And we're interested in projects that are likely to lead to further research. So a piece of work that is going to allow you to put in for a larger grant, or it's going to be the seed of further research. So those are the kinds of things. Who's this picture? This picture is Rowan. This was his project, his incubator fund project with Simone Teufel and Francis Bond. So that's computer science and Asian studies departments. And they were looking at, they collected a corpus of metaphor meanings. So their output there was a novel data set that they wouldn't have otherwise been able to collect. Right. So I'm going to talk to you about a couple of successful projects and explain why they were funded and why they are good projects, what the reviewers had to say about them. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Andreas Vlachos's project. This is the Delhi Data Project. And he's actually had two successful incubator funds. The first one was his Delhi Data Project, Deliberation Enhancing Data. And then he had a second one where he was annotating that data. So it was collecting and then annotating data in these projects. And they were a collaboration between the computer lab here, Andreas at the computer lab, and another person at the computer lab, also with psychology department and, no, sorry, the psychology department at Sheffield University. So there was an external collaborator here. And they used these funds to build and annotate this new corpus called the Delhi Data. And it's designed to help deliberation enhancing bots. So the idea here is that they have these chat bots, which can, if you're in an online group and you're discussing something, the idea is the chat bot injects some probing questions and moderates the group so that it doesn't just go off into a non-productive conversation. So this is the idea of this project. So this are some of the things that the reviewers had to say about the proposal when it was originally put in. And we can see here we have comments that address all of the criteria that we were looking at earlier. So it's quite small, so I'll read them out. The first criteria I said, promote interdisciplinary exchange and collaboration. And you can see the reviewers here said, the project combines expertise from psychology and NLP and demonstrates interdisciplinarity in conceptualization. Okay, so in the application, Andreas had managed to convey this idea of interdisciplinary exchange and collaboration. Addressing emerging themes. So the reviewers say it engages with emergent themes of multi-party dialogues and deliberation, constructive dialogue processes, which is useful in relation to future research directions in human-to-bot research. So again, the proposal that Andreas put in managed to convey this idea of this new area, that something people hadn't done before, an emerging theme that was being addressed. Develop novel methodology approaches or tools. Well, in this case, it was a data set, and the reviewers said, this project will create a novel data set that will be of interest in different areas, including psychology, computer science, NLP, and interactional linguistics. So again, in the proposal, Andreas had managed to capture that idea that this was going to create something which people hadn't had access to before, a novel data set in this case. And finally, we are interested in it leading to future research. And again, the reviewers here were able to say the data set will open up future research projects and clearly lays the path for further grant proposals as clearly laid out in the application. So you can see that he managed to capture all of the things that we look for in his proposal, and the reviewers were able to comment on that. They also, the reviewers are also going to be looking to check that the project is realistic. So is it feasible within the time and the budget? You know, this is £5,000, which has to be, we do give a time period over which it needs to be spent. And if the money isn't spent in that time, we do ask that it be returned. It's quite a generous period of time, but we do look to see, is it feasible in the time and with the budget? And in this case, the reviewers noted that it was particularly well thought through. I have the comments here. It says something like, an outstanding proposal with a very clearly articulated research objective. Their implementation plan is credible and set out in sufficient detail. They have already collaborated to develop the data collection platform and conducted a pilot study. That's actually quite important. If you've already done something that means that there's some grounding to the idea that you're putting forward, it's important to include that. It makes it clear that it's likely to work. They also have a longer term goal to create a novel type of dialogue agent that can intervene in a dialogue to facilitate better decisions. The scope of the project is well considered and feasible within the time frame, and the pilot study has carried out demonstrates the feasibility. Okay, so if you have something you want to do with the money, and you can tell us that if it's not clear that it would be feasible, but you have way of demonstrating to us that it would be feasible, do make sure to include that, because they will be looking at whether it's feasible in the time and in the budget. Okay, so that's the positive reviewer comments that were made on this particular project. And these were the outcomes. And this is the kind of thing that we really hope to see. So in this case, the data set was the first outcome of that. And that was made publicly available. So that's a great outcome in itself. But additionally, there were papers were written, one on the data set itself, and there's been further subsequently. But the fact that this data set existed then enabled Andreas to apply for bigger research grants, because it was the established a piece of work that could say, look, we've got this data set, we now want to do this grander thing. And he managed to get off the back of this, the EPSRC funded project Opening Up Minds. And even better, this is a really good success story, this one, that in a particular trajectory of success then led to a Google funded RA post in the same project. So this is really what we like to see. This is what we hope will happen when you're given your incubator seed fund. Okay, right. So let's have a look at another one. Okay, so the second one was a collaboration between Phonetics, the CBU, and the Faculty of Education. This one was very timely at the time. It was the middle of the COVID pandemic. And this one, it was Per Mask, it was called. The idea was to look at how communication was affected by using face masks in schools, I think, in the classroom, and also to see what types of different face masks had different sort of problems. This was a very timely project. There is actually, I think, somebody on the call who was involved in this project. I don't know if they want to say anything about the projects. Is Julia on here? Don't know. Don't want to put her on the spot. If not, I'll carry on. Oh.
Hi. Yeah, I can say hello. I think you've got it perfectly covered. I think Katrina possibly is also on the call, who did the project with me and our collaborators. Yeah, it was a great project, but if you have questions, then obviously do ask. But other than that, I'll just let you speak.
Okay, I'll carry on then. Right, so let's see what the reviewers had to say about this. Okay, so it was a really well-received project by the reviewers. Obviously, at the time, it was really, really timely. And you can see from the quotes here, we've got some boxes ticked. So promoting interdisciplinary exchange and collaboration. In that first quote there from the reviewers, we've got an interesting and timely proposal with theoretical and practical applications in education and forensic speech sciences. Obviously, this addressed an emerging theme as well, because everything was emerging at that time. And the second quote there, the project includes the creation of a data set of transcripts that will be made openly available. So again, we're creating something brand new as a consequence of doing this project. So it was developing novel methodologies or tools. Data sets are included in that. So again, yeah, a really timely and interesting project. At the time, the project proposal was approved, but there was a back and forth process with this one, and the reviewers asked for more detail in the proposal. They could see the potential value of the data set for the wider research community. And they said, the reviewers at the time said, this wasn't really explicitly conveyed in the application. The reviewers had to work it out for themselves, which is fine. In this case, it was easy for the reviewers to do, but just to emphasize that, because you don't want to put the reviewers in the situation of having to second guess what the brilliant potential value of your project is, make sure you say it explicitly. And also, the proposal didn't explicitly say about how other things might build on top of it, so how it might be a stepping stone to larger things. And again, some of this had to be inferred, so there was some discussion. So, I mean, there are some obvious things here of how things could grow out of this, but again, explicitly say it in the proposal. Make sure you tackle all of those four issues, if you possibly can, that I've mentioned before. This is all laid out on the Language Sciences website, as well as you'll be able to have these slides too. So yeah, it's worth remembering, spell it all out. Tell us how this will lead to the bigger picture, your bigger idea of where things are going. You know, the reviewers like it when they can see, oh, this is a really useful stepping stone in a bigger plan. And it's really important to be explicit about that yourself. And then, having done that, give the detail of the budget and the objectives to show that this really is going to work in this, for this little, you know, you've bitten off the right amount for this particular piece of funding. Okay. Right, so this project has had some brilliant outcomes as well. So there's several papers published. In fact, I've got two listed though. I think there may be many more. There's also, there was some media coverage on this project. It was obviously very interesting, a useful piece of research that was done at an important time. The data set and the transcripts were made publicly available. There's an ongoing undergraduate research project, and there's been various posters. They've even got a Best Oral Presentation Award at the British Association of Academic Phoneticians, I think that is. So wonderful outcomes from this project. And again, this is exactly what we want to see, that we could fund something that'll be useful to building a much bigger piece of brilliant research. And this one's really a success. Okay. So let's sum that all up. You have to make sure your proposal explains how you're promoting interdisciplinary research and addresses any emerging themes. Explain how your new approach or your tools or your data set is going to benefit the wider community. Be really clear about how your proposal could lead to further research and further funding, and show that the plan is realistic, well thought through, and that you've bid off the right size project for this amount of funding. And again, if you've done a pilot study, if you've got some idea about how, you know, if you've got some evidence for us about why this is feasible, what you're trying to do, make sure you let us know about that. And don't be vague about the budget, because if you're vague about the budget, it doesn't give us a clear idea of how to say that this is feasible or not. So yeah, that's the main points of things to think about when you're thinking of applying. We've actually funded 41 projects so far, and the two I've talked about today are, you know, lovely success stories. And I'm sure the people involved would be happy to talk about that if you wanted to talk to them. As I said before, we're going to put these, give you these slides, but there's also all of this information is on the website. Right, so next, how does one apply? So you find the application form on the Language Sciences website. I will give you the URL in a minute, but it's like the Language Sciences website /incubator. And you need to submit by Sunday, the 11th of February. The form is actually pretty straightforward, I think. You've got your basic details area. You say who you are, which faculty you're in. You list any other departments or research groups and the title of your work. We like fun titles, but you don't have to think of a snazzy acronym. Then there's the applicants box. So there we want to know who's going to be working with you, all of the co-applicants. And then you get to list their research interests so we can see the different fields that are involved. And if you've got any previous collaboration, you can add that information in that box as well. So that all goes in there. Then you've got 600 words for the project description. And this is where you describe what you're going to do and make sure when you're describing what you're going to do, it's in the context of the things that I mentioned before. So you're going to do this interdisciplinary thing which addresses emerging themes. If you're going to use any novel tools or create any data sets, and how this might lead to further research, make sure you've covered all of those things in the project description as the things you're thinking about guiding how you write that. And then you've got the implementation section. This is literally how you're going to go about that. And you've got 800 words for that. So that's the that's crucial part for the reviewers to say whether it's feasible, whether, you know, you're going to try and do this in a way which can be done in a sensible amount of time, or if you're going to try and do something which doesn't sound like it's going to be, like it's going to work. So that's the crucial bit there. The case for support, this is basically justifying why this particular project. So you've got to think about that a bit more broadly in terms of contribution to interdisciplinary research in the language sciences at Cambridge. You know, you basically need to be saying, we fit the evaluation criteria. We're not trying to do something you don't want us to do. We're really ticking all these boxes. So that's the kind of thing that you need to say there. Then there's a bit for filling in your budget. As I said, don't be vague here. Do put in realistic budgets because the reviewers will be looking at that. And if you are a PhD student applying, and some early career researchers, you will need to get a PDF letter of a support from your supervisor attached. And that needs to be attached to the application as well. Okay, so key dates. Application deadline is the 11th. And the funding will be announced as a reasonably quick turnaround by March 2024. And then you get a year to complete the project. Somebody is asking if there's going to be another call. This is something that we try to repeat as often as we have funding for. And I think Matt's typing a fuller answer in there at the moment. Right, so just to explain, after the applications come in, they get sent out to the reviewers. There's at least three reviewers for each thing. It's anonymous review. And what happens then is sometimes it's just super clear from the reviews which projects to fund. If it's not really clear, if there's some which are closely tying, then it gets referred up to all the directors of language sciences to have a think about how we want to allocate funds to all these excellent projects. And then we do take some other things into account. So if somebody's been successful several times before and they are equally vying with someone who's not ever had incubator funding before, we are more likely to give it to the new applicant. Also, if we've got two which look equally good, but one is particularly aligned with the strategic themes of language sciences, again, which you can find on the website, these are our big moonshot questions, then we might give that one preference if we've got two equally good projects. Okay. Oh, finances. Yeah. Let's talk about that. So you do not need to produce an X5 for this. You don't need to go to the research office. This doesn't have to go through the research operations office. So what you do is you apply directly to Language Sciences through the website. And then if you're successful, funding gets transferred to your department. Now, this works slightly differently in different departments. I can tell you in the computer lab, it comes through as a donation pot, which the PI is then responsible for looking after. And if there's anything underspent at the end of the time period, that would be returned to MML, who hold the central pot. It works slightly differently in all departments. You should make your finance office aware that you're applying for this, but they basically don't have to do anything at this point unless you get the funding, at which in which case they have to receive it in the way that they have done. Now, as you saw earlier, many, many departments have done this before. So don't feel anxious about this side of the issue, but I'm just making you aware you don't have to go through the process of contacting the research operations office, which is what you would do with much larger grants. If you decide you want to hire somebody with the money, then it makes so much sense to use the temporary employment service of the university. If you try to do anything else in the time period available, you just come up across all kinds of problems that you've got to go through the hiring process and all of the hoops that need to be jumped through. If you can just employ somebody on TESS, that is our recommended route for doing anything with hiring people for this process. As I say, it's tried and tested, and it doesn't have any real wait time associated to it. Have I covered everything there? I should say again that obviously you need to, if you're collaborating with somebody external, obviously the funds have to be held actually in Cambridge. We transfer the money to other Cambridge institutions. Okay, and that's everything. So are there any questions? Have I forgotten anything, Jane or Matt? Was there anything I didn't say?
There are a couple of things just regarding the TESS route. It can be a named person. So if you have someone in mind as a research assistant, for example, then you just need to get them to register by TESS. If you don't use TESS, you have to give them a contract, and you also have to do all the anti-slavery docs and things like that. So it would be your responsibility to do that. So it would just add an extra layer of work and bureaucracy to it. So that's why we encourage people to use TESS. There was one other thing, actually, a financial thing. So people probably know this already, but participant payments, giving them cash, is not something we can do. We can't hand over a block of cash for people to use. It has to be vouchers or some other solution. So don't put cash in the budget part of your proposal. So, yeah, I think those were the only things.
And what about the cycle of calls, Jane? I forget how frequently we try to do it. I know our source of funding has changed, so that might have changed the cycle.
We try and have two calls a year. So normally we would launch one call like we did this time after the annual symposium and then close it in the new year. And then we would sometimes have one later in the year. At the moment, there's no plans for a second call this year, partly because of internal funding constraints. So we hope we'll have another call later this year, but we can't give a date yet. We need some money. We used to get money from the Isaac Newton Trust that would match the money from our budget. So at the moment, we haven't got a definite date for the next call.
We should say we have upped the amount of money, haven't we?
This yes.
To be yeah. 2,500, and it's gone up, and now it's gone up twice, right? I think.
Yeah. I mean, for the last, we set it up in 2016, and for the last few years, with match funding, we've been able to put about 20,000 a year into the incubator fund. But at the moment, the landscape has changed. So at the moment, we've got this call, and then we hope to have another call later in the year.
Yeah, Jane, in the chat, Julia is asking about I mentioned the moonshot questions. Do you have, could you paste the link to the website?
They're not actually in a box, and they're referred to on the website, but I will, yeah, I'll find something. We've used them in relation to the to some workshop funding. So yes, I'll put a link in there. Or even the questions themselves.
Yeah, they're basically some big overarching moonshot questions that are guiding the workshop and things that we're trying to guide people together to think about. They've been the themes of the language symposium events recently.
Yeah, and they were also agreed through a series of focus groups that Guy Emerson convened. So sorry, I'm just hunting for this thing. Right, okay. I'll just put it in the chat if you want to move on to something else.
Has anybody got any other questions? We're quite happy to talk to people about proposals if they have any questions about how something specifically might align with the call. Just if you ping, well, probably Jane, and she can field it to the right place. Anybody have anything else they want to ask? Good, it's all super clear then, Jane.
It is. I'm just struggling to find the moonshot questions. Hang on, there we go. There's one.
Oh yeah, so I don't know if everyone could see this chat. But yeah, language, trust and society, language and education.
Sorry, the other ones are on a different page. Sorry, I'm going to just mute and turn my camera.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry, that was Yanthi just appearing. People, it's obvious I'm in a meeting. Right. I can circulate them with the slides. How about that?
Yeah.
That's probably easiest.
Yeah, if I navigate there, we'll lose the slides. Okay. Well, I think we'll leave it there then if everybody is happy.
I'm going to stay in the call. If there are other, there's a Q&A question from Julia Schwartz, which I'm in the process of typing an answer for.
Oh yeah.
And I would suggest that anyone who's has further questions remain in the meeting and can type in the Q&A or ask out loud.
That's a great idea. We'll stay online for anybody who wants to talk.
Right, I've found all of the, there we go. It's the screen sharing thing that's such a nightmare. I can't see anything. Right, here we go.
So somebody's asked, could a third year PhD student apply? Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
Yeah,
I think the
okay.
key, I think the key thing there is that they would need to show that they have time to complete the work before their PhD funding finishes, so that we would want to fund someone who remains in Cambridge during the period of that research.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we give you 12 months to complete the work, but it may be completed in a shorter amount of time, of course. So you don't have to be here for that entire year, as long as you intended to use the money, in the period before you were leaving.
Something that hasn't been mentioned as part of this session, but is in the terms and conditions, is that we ask people to present a poster about their project at our annual symposium. So some of the posters, people will have been to the symposium and seen the poster slam. Some of those are incubator fund posters, projects. And then also we ask people to do a short report. That's how we're able to monitor outcomes of the funding and see what the work has led to. So those are two things that haven't been mentioned, but are expectations attached to the funding.
Yeah, but you can see from these pictures that everybody's very happy to do their poster presentation. And I should say the report is not an onerous requirement. It's a very short report
Yeah.
only. What have we got? Somebody's asked about specific tips and suggestions for writing a strong proposal, and Matt is typing an answer to that. But basically, the things that oh, sorry, Matt, was that you?
I was going to say that I think Paula's slides covered a lot of what makes for a strong proposal.
That's what I was about to say, really. If you're covering those criteria, and you can see the kind of things that the reviewers were saying, you want them to be able to say those things about your proposal. You don't want them to be having to infer why this is a useful piece of research. You want to be saying that explicitly and all of those things that we talked about. But the kind of comments that are on here from the reviewers, you have to think, well, what do I need to write in order for the reviewers to say that about me? Okay.
Oh, there's another
Paula, do
question,
you want to do
Paula.
that?
Oh,
There's
that.
a, do you want to repeat what you said about Chat GPT?
Yeah. So we don't want to use the funding to just pay for compute or pay for sending prompts to Chat GPT. The reason being, we would prefer if open source things were used and university resources like the HPC. We don't think it's necessarily the right thing to be doing to take this hard fought for money and be just giving it straight to a company when there are alternatives for doing that. And we're not, the we need to work through the idea of how we should be using these large language models. Anyway, we are in the current Guy and I are in the process of trying to put together some guidelines for how to use AI that should make it more clear why we think alternative routes for exploration would be better alternatives. Can one person be on two different proposals? Yes, that's happened before. I don't think there's
Yeah,
any.
I'm replying to that in text as well. I think you have to show that you've got time available to support both proposals, and be aware that there may not be funds available to support two different projects. So you may inadvertently end up competing with yourself.
Yes, that's true. So they probably shouldn't be codependent projects.
Yeah.
That probably would be very, you might be not doing yourself a favor there, because we wouldn't necessarily be able to fund both. Has that answered everything? I think I've answered everything on there. Okay. Oh, is the one? No, is that everything? I think so. So, should we thank everyone for coming? And if you have any further questions, do get in contact with us, I guess.
Yeah, I think probably the first point of call for any further questions will be an email to Jane Walsh. And Jane can consult Paula and others as necessary to provide answers.
Yeah. I should say it's actually Jane Durkin now who oversees the incubator fund, but she's away until mid-February. But it's absolutely fine to contact me.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Paula.
Lots of wonderful proposals coming through.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. We're going to stay on the line, aren't we, Paula and Matt?
If that's okay. I'm free for a bit longer, so.
I'll stop recording.